Remain standing, if you will, take your Bibles now and go to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter number 10. While you're finding that, I'll ask it when you sit down, if you take your songbook and place it under your seat, that would help us to know where our songbooks are at for tonight. Hosea chapter number 10. We'll read verses 12 through verse number 15 this morning responsively. I'll read verse number 12. And you'll join me on verse number 13. We'll read like that all the way through the end of the chapter, verse number 15. Hosea chapter number 12. Hosea chapter number 10, beginning verse 12. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult rise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Betharbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel be cut off." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in church this morning. Lord, thank you for the freedoms that we have in this great country. Thank you for those, Lord, that paid the ultimate price to preserve those freedoms in our country. Now, Lord, as we hear the Word of God preached this morning, we ask that our hearts would be in tune to the Holy Spirit. Lord, that our mind would be focused on the truth. There's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of burdens in our life. Lord, may we be able to set those aside for just a few moments and receive the truth that you've prepared for us this morning. Speak to our heart, encourage, strengthen. Lord, teach us what we can do to become more like you. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. If you'll keep your Bibles open, we'll come back to it here in just a moment. We live in a world of instant information. We think because we can Google it that we're in some way intelligent. I'm just going to talk to you today. We've been taught and trained for way too long that we are intelligent people. Can I tell you something? We're not as smart as we think we are. We live in the age of smartphones. Can I tell you something? Smartphones have made us lazy. If you're my age or older, you used to know about 100, 150, 200 phone numbers. Now you can have a hard time remembering your own. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? I mean, when you actually had to dial a phone and not beep, beep. I remember when the push button phone came out, we thought we were hot snot on a silver platter. I remember the old rotary phones. Now, I don't remember ones you had to crank. My dad does, but I don't. And the only guy in the neighborhood that had it couldn't hear. But I do remember party lines when three or four neighbors were on the same phone line and you had to pick it up to see if anybody was on it to use it, or they picked it up and listened to everything you said. Smartphones have made us lazy and less smart. We now have faster fingers but slower brains. In the Old Testament, they used to call preachers or prophets the word seer, S-E-E-R. God said that a preacher, a man of God, could see things that the average person could not. 1 Samuel chapter 9, you need not turn there, but I'm going to read you what God says about it. 1 Samuel 9, verse number 9 says, "Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, 'Come, let us go to the seer.' For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer." God gives a very unique insight to his men. Let me say right here, a preacher, including myself, is no different than any other man. But the calling of our life sets us apart, and we spend more time with God than the average person. It doesn't mean we are a better person, but our occupation, to some degree, is walking with God. Now listen to this. Because a man of God is supposed to, and I'll say that, is supposed to spend so much time with God, that means this man begins to see life through God's eyes better than the average person. I'm not lifting myself up. This is just the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to know that book better than you do. Would you want a preacher that you knew more about the Bible than they know? Would you want a preacher where you read more of your Bible than he reads? Would you want a man of God who you spend more time with God than he does? My job, please don't take this the wrong way, I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says I'm supposed to bury your dead, but that's what preachers do. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says I have to marry your young. I do find in the scripture where I'm supposed to spend time with him and bring back to you and feed you what I got with him.
Right.
Now, I love marrying our young people off, especially my daughter, so I don't have anybody at home. I enjoy as much as you can enjoy helping people through hard times in the funerals. God knows we did 26 of them last year. I'm so tired of people dying. I'm ready for the rapture, and nobody else is allowed to get sick or die, all right? I get that. But I will say this. I will not cheat you by not spending time with God, spending time in his book, spending time in prayer, and coming back and feeding you the word of God. I am not here to impress you. I'm here to give you what God's supposed to give you. That's probably the prayer I pray most often. Oh God, please give me what I need to feed your people. Now, because I spend so much time with him, because I read that book so much and study that book so much, God gives me an insight that he doesn't give the average person because I've spent so much time with him. Just like I know my wife better than anybody else. You say, why? Because I've spent more time with her. You know, I know my wife better than my in-laws do. I've had her longer. Twice as long, almost. So I should, almost. I robbed the cradle, amen. I've known her. Now, they've known her longer, but I've had her living with me away from them longer than she lived with them. So I should know her better. The same is true with a man of God. He's supposed to spend so much time with God that we know him better than you do. That doesn't mean that you can't know God. But God gives the man of God a special insight so that he can help the people of God. Now, let me ask you a question. And please, if you're in this field, don't get angry with me. I'm not criticizing. Why do we seek advice about life from the creation, meaning man, instead of the creator of man? I'm just going to say it. God gave us men of God to see life more from his view. So why do we seek advice from a psychologist or a life coach or somebody in the world? Why don't we go to God's man? Why do we want to go to someone who only studies the man instead of studying the creator of man? You see, God gave us a man of God to go to, and I am not lifting myself up. But what I'm saying is too many people struggle in life because they go seek advice from everybody but the man of God. God did not call any other person in the Bible a seer other than the man of God. We have a trend in Christianity today. This trend makes me angry. We have pastors who are sending their people to professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, and others to get help, instead of taking the word of God and giving them help God wants them to have. A couple years ago, I had a guy tell me, he calls himself a pastor. He said, well, I send my people to go get professional help. I said, well, how about you quit your church and go get a real job then? I said, what are you? He was backpedaling. Please don't take this the wrong way. I've dealt with more people than any psychologist you'll go to. I know more about life than any psychologist because I see it from God's eyes, not man's eyes. Now, don't get mad at me. Psychology is man's reasoning about man. Biblical counsel is seeing life through God's eyes. I don't know about you. I'd rather get my advice from God than from somebody looking at another sinner. Now, man does not need man's reasoning to fix a spiritual problem. Man doesn't need man's reasoning to fix a soul or a heart problem. Man needs man's help often with a physical problem. That is correct. I will say this. I have advised some people to go get help in the area of biologics with some people that help in some psychological areas because they have a biological issue. But the man of God's supposed to be deciding who that is, not everybody else. Just because you have a pain that doesn't go away or you feel discouraged from time to time doesn't mean you need to go see a psychologist. If you get discouraged, come see me. I'll have you go make some cookies or go buy something and take it to somebody and you'll feel a whole lot better. You see, a man, listen to this, a lost person with a dead spirit cannot reason enough to help you. How could somebody who is lost on their way to hell with a dead spirit help you with something that's spiritual or soulful? I'm just showing you what God says. You might as well go down here to the cemetery and get your advice from the people under the stones out here. Say, well, preacher, they don't talk back. They're dead. And someone who is lost is dead in their trespasses and sins. Why do we want to get our advice from the graveyard? I don't know about you. I'd rather seek godly counsel and get counsel to help me live, not die. It's your choice. When we take the Bible, which is God's truth, away from counsel, we take God's authority away as well. Now listen to this. We also, because we take truth away and we take authority of the Bible and God away, we take the authority of the man of God away, and that's why people won't go seek help from a preacher. Everybody doing okay? Did you know that it's a state law in most states, including the state of West Virginia, that if you're going to get married and you go sign up for the, what do they call that? The marriage license, that's their word. You have to pay a certain fee. But if you can take a letter saying that you receive premarital counseling, it's significantly less. By the way, I don't think a young person ought to get married unless they sought advice from the pastor. Say why? I can save them a whole lot of problems. Promise you. Say, well, you think you know everything? Nope, but I think I see things God's way. And if you got godly parents, all they're going to do is hear it from somebody else and reinforce what you've taught them their whole life. Now, listen to me very carefully here. No wonder people seek a psychologist or a life coach or somebody else because we have turned psychologists into the authority instead of God and the Word of God. I'm going to give you a quote from an old-fashioned, crazy preacher from yesteryear, a man named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a professional baseball player who got saved listening to guys at the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission one day. Billy Sunday hung his cleats up, picked the Bible up, and started preaching, and saw over 1 million people get saved. This is what Billy Sunday said, and I quote, "When the consensus of scholarship says one thing and the Bible says another, the consensus of scholarship can go to hell and will obey the Bible." I like Billy Sunday. You think I'm rough? Mm-mm. We have a lot of smart people on their way to hell telling a bunch of lesser smart people that are on their way to hell how to go to hell happier. Am I not right? Oh, you don't need church. You don't need God. You just need to take this pill. You have a chemical imbalance. My dad fixed those chemical imbalances. I've been over and he rebalanced them. Amen. I'm not trying to lift myself up. I am not trying to control anyone's life. If you have ever sought my counsel, I've never said, you must do this or else. I don't live that way. But let me say something. I want you to have the best life you have available to you according to that book right there. By the way, I'm a pretty happy person. I have a good life. I have a wonderful wife. I married up. Amen. I may not have done much right, but I knew how to get married right. I want you to have the... Did you know God wants you to enjoy life, not endure life? Well, how are you going to get what God wants from you when you're going to seek a lost person and their advice? How about we get God in on this thing? By the way, if I don't teach you how to seek advice and from whom to seek advice, who's gonna? Lest you think I'm lifting myself, I'm not. I'm plenty busy. But I long to help God's people. I spent 3.5 hours on the phone yesterday counseling people. 4 different states. I got done about, it was 7:30 last night with the last phone call. I sat down and went, phew. My wife looked at me, Miss Wally looked at me, and they said, are you okay? I said, yeah, my head is just tired. And Miss Wally says, well, no wonder. It was just one of those heavy days. It's okay. I love doing it. God gives me the strength I need to keep doing it. Amen? Can I tell you something? Please know I'm not asking to be put on a pedestal. I just want you to get the help God has for you. I want each and every person in this room, whether you're a member of this church or not, to know there's a man of God here who will help you.
Amen.
Brother Juan and I stood in the living room of a man dying of cancer yesterday. A family member in our church is related to them. I stood there and talked to them. I prayed with them. I've been there a few times already. I've tried to help them. Say why? Because in 4 years, nobody from their church has ever come see them. I think that's criminal. I'm sick and tired of pastors who sit on their blessed assurance while people are dying and hurting and have nobody to help them. We have pastors more interested in their bank account than people that are hurting. You can have my bank account, I'll help people that are hurting. I will ask you this. Allow me to be a seer in your life so that I can try to help you from making mistakes or help you out of the mistakes in life. The fool has said experience is the best teacher. Someone else's experience is. Let me say that again. A fool says experience is the best teacher. Someone else's experience is. Tristan, you're new in our church. Young man in our church, just coming in on the bus. Did you know, Tristan, experience is not the best teacher? You don't have to go out and get drunk to find out. That's stupid. Let somebody in this church that has been through the alcohol, like Brother Scott, stand up and say, don't you do that. It'll mess your life up. For every one that's sitting there, I can show you 1,000 that are dead or dying. Promise you. So experience is not the best teacher. Somebody else's is. And God has given me a ministry over the last 32 years full times where I have dealt with millions of people. There's not a problem you face I probably haven't already dealt with 1,000 times. Not one. And I can use the experience of others to either help you or keep you from going into where they ended up. So please, allow me to help you today. I am not lifting me up. By the way, you have another seer, Brother Josh. That's a man of God. I don't care what his last name is. He's a man of God and he's a wise young man. Don't be afraid to ask advice. Let me help you today. Number one, God wants us to put our trust in him, in his word, over our way as a sinful people. Look at Hosea chapter 10 again. Let me show you something. I want you to notice what God says here. Look at verse number 13. Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in whose way? Thy way. In the multitude of thy mighty men. God says, look, you've plowed wickedness. You've reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies. And we've done this generation after generation after generation. And now we trust in people who are said to be mighty men, but they're not spiritual men. And he said, because of this, you're going to ruin your life. Please don't take this the wrong way. I've never been drunk. I've not done drugs. Except for kidney stones. Then bring it on. Get the pain away. But past that, it's under doctor supervision. Amen. One and done, get it over with, and pop that stone out, and here we go. Can I tell you something? I have a clear thinking brain most days. Say why? Because I spend time with him so I can help you. I try not to cloud my mind with the filth of our society. I have not watched the news in almost 2 years. Say why? I'm tired of all the perversion, the sickness, the lack of justice, the propaganda, and I will not fill my mind with those things and come back here and puke it out on you. Now, I keep up with things, but because I keep up with things doesn't mean I have to watch the news. No wonder people are so depressed. Just watch the news. If the last thing you do is watch news, no wonder you can't sleep at night. And if you believe it, you really need my help.
Amen.
Folks, we have listened to the world's garbage long enough. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Don't look to another human being, a humanist, someone who believes the study of man is the most important. How about we believe in what God says? Look this way. You've seen Brother Lopez. He's not better looking than me anyway. Just look this way. God says, you have trusted in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Wow. Well, this person has a PhD, okay? Post hole digger. Or pretty heavy date. I know people that have more degrees than they have temperature. I know people that have doctorate degrees that believe you came from a monkey. They're not real smart. Just because they have PhD or DDT or BVD after their name, all right? It doesn't matter to me what letters come after their name. I don't give a rip. Albert Einstein may have had a high IQ, but he sure didn't know what a comb was. Do you know that Albert Einstein had to have somebody walk him to and from work every day because he couldn't find his way home? He was so smart, he was stupid. Everybody doing okay? All right. God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now watch this. Please listen carefully. Psychology, whether it's quote-unquote Christian psychology or not, is man's study of man. It only deals with the body and the soul. It's not balanced because it does not involve the spirit of man. Our spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God. By the way, we have people in our church that are involved in the field of psychology, and I'm not your enemy, and you know that. But I must tell the truth to everybody. I'm using that as a general statement right now. I'm not saying every psychologist in the world is demon-possessed and they're going to take you to hell. But as a whole, we're pretty close. Biblical counsel involves the body, the soul, and the spirit. Psychology only involves the body and the soul. And it does not deal with the spirit of man. Am I doing okay? I know where I'm going with this. Why do we trust a sinful man's guidance over... Why would we trust a sinful man's guidance over the sinless creator of man? That doesn't make sense to me. Brother Scott, he's kind of... He knows HVAC and plumbing and electrical. God knows you don't want me working on your electricity. Colorblind people don't touch wires. There's a reason. Amen? You can ask my sons. You don't want me building anything for you. Say why? It's not dependable. It's not going to work. It's not going to look right. And you don't want to be in it or under it or on it. Say why? God took that genetic away from me when I answered the call to preach. Trust me. He said, son, you're going to preach the rest of your life or you're going to starve to death. I'm not kidding. Now, wait a minute. Why would you go to somebody like me? You say, well, preacher, I need help with this. Good. Go call Brother Scott. Go call Brother Joe. Go call Brother Mike. Go call Brother Josh. I can tell you who to go call, but I ain't even doing it. If you need to pick out colors in your house, don't call me. Say why? I'll think they look right, but you sure won't. I don't see them like you see them. Then why do we go get our advice from people that don't have enough sense to understand what the spirit of man is? Sinful man denies there's a God and believes man is just an animal. That's what evolution is. And no wonder people act worse than animals. Why do we want to go get their advice? Why do we think they're the professional? Folks, I know how to train my puppy dog to not potty in the house. Mr. Pavlov's an idiot. People are not dogs. Amen. I said it. Well, there are certain traits that are... It's because you're only dealing with body and soul. If you add a spirit to that, man is not like that. Amen. And you're only seeing it from man's side, not God's side. Everybody doing okay? God allows his men to see life through the lens of truth. If I take these off, I can't read anything. Matter of fact, I can just about make out who some of you are, but it's pretty fuzzy. I need a lens to correct it so I can see clearly. Here's the average psychologist. Body and soul, but no spirit to see through. Shazam. I look better off. No. God allows his men to see through the lens he gave us from him. That means I can see things as a man of God, not that spooky and weird. Okay, those people bother me. There are some people that see so much that God didn't even see it. Those are the people you don't trust. But may I say something? When we look at it through the lens of God's word, and the experience of God's man working with God's people all these years, there's an ability to clarify your vision. I am not superior to any other human being. Brother Steve, stand up for a second. I said stand up. Oh, you are. Brother Steve Snow is no different than me. We're both men. I'm better looking and younger. But he's a man. I'm a man. And positionally, Brother Steve, you and I are equal. My job is different, though. He's done a lot of things in his life, but the thing I've done with my entire life is spend time with God and come back and try to help you. It doesn't make me a better man, but it gives me the ability to see life differently than the average man. Thank you, Brother Steve. I didn't mean to embarrass you because the top of your head's red. God's man is not superior as a human being to anybody. Lest you think I'm a narcissist, lest you think I am lifting myself up, I am not. I am a sinner just like you. I put my britches on this morning the same way you did. I just put them on earlier than most. God's man, though, has superior counsel to the average man. God's man has better counsel than the lost man, for sure.
Amen.
I don't look at life through man as being an animal or a monkey. I don't look at life as though we are just another animal on planet Earth. God's man is a sinner, but his message is infallible and it's biblical. Well, preacher, how can I trust somebody that's a sinner? You can't, but you can trust the infallible word of God. That's why some preacher that'll tell you to do something that's outside the confines of this book, they're not a man of God. The tele-evangelist that says, well, you need to send seed money. Yeah, you're seeding his bank account. That's not scriptural. Everybody doing okay? When Oral Roberts said he saw a 900-foot Jesus, he just had bad pizza before he went to bed. Isn't it amazing? Oral Roberts had to have a hospital, but he was a faith healer. Do you see something wrong with that picture? Well, they just don't have enough faith. Oh, now it's their problem, not yours. Jesus didn't have trouble healing anybody. So it must not be that. We have the infallible words of God, and when we go outside that, that's when we get in trouble. Now listen to me. The best and greatest and smartest of men fall way short of God. You name any preacher you want, they're a sinner. They're either dead or are going to die. They're not perfect. Have you ever tried to live up to that book? Neither can God's man. I should do it better than most, but I'm still a sinner. So, God says, God wants us to trust him and his words over man and man's ways. Number two. Are you ready? God's ways and God's advice often goes against what we humans see as being right. Let me read some verses to you. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Yeah, that's it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Guess what? God's a better thinker than you are. God's a better thinker than I am. And God's ways are above me. God's ways are above you. And it's not going to make sense to man. If it makes sense to man, guess what? Our God's not any better than man. Religion is bringing God down to man. Christianity is us being lifted up to where God is. It didn't make sense to Noah to go build an ark. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Do you know that Noah was more than 400 miles from the nearest body of water that could float that thing? Imagine going out in your neighborhood building a boat that size right down your street. And it take you 120 years to get it done. And at that time, the world had never seen rain. What's rain? Well, water's going to fall from the sky. Right. They'd never heard thunder. But there's old Noah building a boat, doing what God said. All of a sudden, all these animals start showing up. He didn't go out and get them. They came to him. Can you imagine what it looked like going towards Brother Noah's house? Can you imagine what was the exhaust that was left behind? Did I say that appropriately? It didn't make sense for what God wanted Noah to do. But when that first clap of thunder came 7 days after Noah got shut in that boat and the water started dripping, I bet you it started making sense to Brother Noah. After a day or so when that boat started to rise on the water, everybody went, uh-oh. I can imagine Brother Noah was saying, boy, it didn't make sense to me, but I'm glad I obeyed. Remember the story of Gideon? God came to the smallest man of the smallest tribe of the smallest nation in the world. And he said, hail thou mighty man of valor. He said, wait a minute, I'm hiding behind the wine press. I'm afraid of the Midianites. He said, Gideon, thou art a mighty man of valor. I'm going to use you to defeat the Midianites. Right. So he goes out there with about 20,000 soldiers against 150,000 soldiers. Now, I don't know about you, but 7-1 odds is not very good. If you're going to get in a fight, you better make sure you're on the 7 and not the 1. And God comes to Gideon and says, Gideon, you got too many men. God, what were you doing? He said, I want you to tell all those that are afraid to go home, Gideon, stay there. I didn't mean you. The Bible says 15,000 of those rascals left. He's got 10,000. It's now 15-1. Okay, we just doubled our odds. It's not real good. Gideon goes to God and says, are you happy now? He said, no. He said, good, neither am I. God said, you still have too many men. He said, I'm going to die. Might as well go in style. What do you mean, God? He said, you still have too many men. If you win now, you'll take the credit. He said, I want you to go down to the river, and every man that gets down on all fours and puts his face in the water to drink, send them home. Those that bend down a knee and put the water in their hand and drink from their hand, you keep them. 9,700 guys got down on their face and put their head in the water and drank. It's 300 men left. That's 450-1. Now that's some pretty bad odds. Gideon says, are you happy now? He said, yes. He said, good, I'm not. God, just a question. If we're an army, where's our weapons? You got any M4s? Got grenade launchers? Well, I'll even take a Scud missile, you know. Whatever you got. God says, no. He said, armor-plated camel? Nothing. He said, Gideon, I want each man to grab a sword. Then I want each of you to grab a trumpet and then a clay pot and a torch. Okay, we're going to fill up the clay pots with gasoline, light them on fire with a torch, and throw Molotov cocktails. We got this thing. No gasoline. All right. He said, at midnight, I want to put 100 here, 100 here, 100 here. You're going to encompass the city, come down. I want you to blow the trumpet. I want you to break the pots. You hold the torch up and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And just watch what I'm going to do. All right, God, fellas, we're going to die tonight. But let's just do what God said. At midnight, The sign was given. They run down the side of the hills from all sides. They hold the torch. They throw the pot down. They blow the trumpet. They holler, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And the Midian army wakes out of the sleep, scared to death. They grab their swords and they start hacking each other. And I can imagine these 300 guys saying, "There's one over here, get him." Ooh, yeah. I mean, they're guiding the battle. Say, "Preacher, it didn't happen that way." Read the book of Judges, find out it did. It did not make sense to man to have 20,000 men down to 300 to go fight 150,000. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. But thank God we had a man that would obey the man of God. God says that if you're a Christian, you ought to tithe. That means give the first 10% of your income to the work of God. I am not asking for me. I won't check up on you. This isn't a church where we're going to print your name till you give. We don't count the offering and say, "Okay, we didn't get enough. Let's take it again." There's churches in our area that when you join their church, you have to give them your banking information and they deduct it out of your bank account automatically, and it'd be a cold day where the booger man lives for that happens here. I don't even have a donate here button on our church website on purpose. Anybody doing okay? God says, "Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, not send them online." Brother John, if we look at this as humans and as men, it doesn't make sense to give God 10% and live on 90%. But Brother Larry, I've been doing it so long, I can't imagine not doing it. I can live better on 90% obeying God than I can 100% disobeying God. It's not faith, it's obedience. "Well, that takes a lot of faith, preacher." No, it just takes obedience. I can't describe it to you. I can tell you what it is, but I can tell you this. God says if you'll obey him, he will open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, and he will rebuke the devourer from you. I don't understand it, but know this, you can't outgive God. We didn't have a money raising program for building our building here. Say why? I don't believe in taxing God's people. I believe we do our part, God will take care of the rest. And there was times he took it to the very last second. But isn't that the way it works sometimes? Sometimes God's ways involve the spiritual, not the physical, and not the emotion. Too many times we want to logic our way through the will of God. Folks, if you'd have known me as a kid, you would have never had me as your pastor. My dad's nodding his head. You don't have to agree so quickly. Or as vehemently. Wait a minute. I was a shy, introverted kid. Ornery, but shy and introverted. I didn't like talking in front of people. I know you don't believe that, but it's true. But when I finally gave in to do what God said, something happened. God uses something that's spiritual to astound man. Remember my last week of school in public school, my eighth grade year, my English teacher. Oh, she hated me. Eighth grade, I went to Edison Junior High School and I took my Bible to class every day, every class hour, put it on my desk. Oh, I had people spit in it. I had people try to shove me in lockers and knock my books out of my hands and calling me all kinds of wonderful names and everything else. And you know how that would go in a public school of 2,000 students and you're the only one with a Bible. It got exciting. I learned early in life to be tough. Amen. My English teacher, we would have to write papers in English class. So I wrote about church. I wrote about getting saved. I wrote the plan of salvation. I don't know how many times. She would fail me. I'd take my papers to the principal and say, look, she gave us the topic. You know, she gave me a topic one day. Okay, I've got you. I'm going to give you a topic. You have to write a story about a bus ride. Well, I worked on a bus route at church, so I told about my church bus route. She gave me an F. Well, my principal, his mother-in-law, lived catty-corner across the street from us, and I mowed her yard. I went to Mr. Hartwick and said, Mr. Hartwick, she's failing me, and I'm doing what she... He made her grade all my papers over, and I ended up with an A-minus in the class instead of an F. Now, wait a minute. My last week in school, she found... I finally wrote a paper that I wasn't going to be back. I was going to a Christian school the next year. She pulled me out in the hallway. She thought she was something. She said, let me tell you something, young man. She put her finger in my face. I don't even think I ever told my parents this. I was too happy to get out of there. I didn't care. She said, you are never going to make anything of yourself. You'll never make it in college. You're too stubborn. You're too spiritual. You'll never make anything of your life. Wonderful teachers I had. I graduated from Bible college and I had a minor in English grammar. I've overseen proofreading for decades. You think I was going to let her tell me what I could and could not do? Shoot, that's motivation for me. You want to motivate me? Tell me I can't do something. We'll figure it out. Sometimes God's ways involve something that's spiritual, not physical, not emotional. God gives a man of God a lens to see through the situation which psychology does not have. Did you know that the man of God has the truth of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God by which to help guide you? Psychology can only use your body and your soul, your emotions and your physical. God's man has the Bible, the Holy Spirit, guiding him and you together, working together in harmony to do something that man cannot do. We won't take time to turn there, but in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, Elisha is talking to a young man. He goes out and he sees this army that's about to kill Elisha and him. And Elisha's sitting there one morning. He said, preacher, it doesn't look good out there. They're coming after us. And Elisha looks out the window and he looks up and he said, God, would you open the eyes of the young man that he might see? He said, young man, look out the window again. Instead of looking at the army, look up. And the young man looked through the window again and looked up and he saw the angels of God as an army around that enemy army that was poised to destroy them. The man of God said, open the eyes of the young man to see. Elisha saw it, but somebody else could not. But God used the man of God to show the young man what he could not see. Please don't take this the wrong way. I'm a sinner. But God has given me the ability to see some things that sometimes you don't see. And sometimes it's not going to make sense. Right, Miss Wally? But when we get through it, you say, wow, that was easier than I thought it was going to be. I didn't expect that, right, because you couldn't see this through the lens of the Spirit. God gives you a man of God to give you the lens of the Spirit and a voice to tell you what he sees. I'm not talking about things that aren't there and not visible. I don't see ghosts. Trust me. I don't watch these paranormal shows. Say why? I wouldn't sleep at all. Those people are weird. By the way, man can't see spiritual things. Don't try to figure out God. Just obey and watch what he does. Do you think it made sense for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego to get thrown into a fiery furnace? Our God will deliver us. But if not, he'll still do something. They bound them with chains. They put heavy coats and hats on them. They opened up the furnace. It was so hot. The men that opened it up were killed immediately from the heat. They then threw three young men into the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, uh-oh. He said, fellas, how many do we throw in? They said, three. He said, I see four. They're loose. They're walking around. And the fourth is like the Son of God. Hey, fellas, come on out. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego came out of the fire, not bound by chains, and their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. That's better than some people. It did not make sense, but they obeyed God, and look what God did. Do you think it made sense for Daniel to get thrown into a lion's den? By the way, he was an old man. He wasn't young. The king had made a decree, you can't pray. Sounds like a governor that said you can't go to church. But Daniel was like this Baptist preacher and said, I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. Well, you're going to pay a price, Daniel. It's okay, I'll pay the price. I'd rather obey God than scholarship. Scholarship can go to hell while I obey God. Amen. Well, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. They threw him in the lion's den. King Nebuchadnezzar was scared all night, or whichever king it was, I forget which one it was. The next morning early, he comes out and says, Daniel, are you still alive? He said, O king, live forever, I'm fine. And he called for the servants to open up the lion's den. They pulled Daniel out, and he said, okay, all you yard birds that helped me make this law come here. He gathered them all together, gathered their wives and their children, and said, throw them in. The Bible says that those lions killed them all before their bodies hit the ground. Daniel had been down there all night long with them. Now, you've seen pictures of him sleeping up against a lion. Daniel had more sense than that, trust me. I don't think he was down there saying, good kitty, good kitty. I don't think he closed his eyes all night long. You say, preacher, why do you hate cats? That's why. I could go through story after story after story after person after person after person in the Bible where it did not make sense. Remember Moses and the Jews crossing the Red Sea? You want to talk about one that'll turn your hair, if you have any. Moses, just hold the rod up and watch what I can do. Right. God caused an east wind to come. You know what happened? That's right over the Saudi Arabian Peninsula and desert. And all night long, God moved that water, and a dry desert wind dried up the lake bed as God held the water back. And there was a cloud there with fire that convectioned all that heat and dried it out. And it was dark on the other side so the Egyptians couldn't see. They walked over on dry ground, not ankle deep water, not mud. Well, they didn't actually go through the Red Sea. They went through the Reed Sea. It's only ankle to knee deep. Well, that's even a bigger miracle because the Egyptian army drowned in ankle deep water. Dingbats. Let me give you another quote from Billy Sunday. The church gives people what they need. The theater gives people what they want. This preacher will feed you what you need, not what you want. I'll give you what you need from the Word of God. I won't always tell you what you want, but I will give you what you need. Number three, and I'll finish quickly. I will not force my way or my counsel on you, but I'll give you what God wants. If you choose to obey, we'll work through it together. If you choose to disobey, I'll help you again. It's that simple. I will not force anybody to do what I say. I will not force you to obey God. Say why? Not my way to do that. Not God's way to do that. You know, God never came down, grabbed you by the back of the head and threw you at the altar and said, you obey me or I'm going to kill you. You have a will to choose. But allow me, as a preacher of 41 years, 32 years full-time in the ministry, allow a man of God that has seen some things to be able to help you from time to time. Proverbs 11:14, Proverbs 24:6 talks about a multitude of counselors. Listen to this statement. That doesn't mean you come talk to me and you find out what I tell you and say, well, I don't like it, so I'm going to go ask Brother Josh what he thinks. And I don't like what he said, so I'm going to go talk to Brother Scott, find out what he likes, and I know I'm not going to like that. Then I'm going to go talk to so-and-so, and you go talk to enough people to find somebody that will agree with you and say, I sought counsel. No, a multitude of counselors means this. I know a lot about things of life, but I don't know a lot of things about HVAC. If I've got HVAC questions, I'm going to talk to him. He's one of my counselors. Not about life in general, but about HVAC, plumbing, some other things. There are people in here, you know a lot about automotives or mechanics. My dad, you know, if it's broke, 1-800-MEL-BUSH. He can fix anything. Don't call me to fix it. You say, why? It'll be broke worse for a lot longer. So he's one of my counselors in that area. Does that make sense? But I don't go person to person to person to person to person to find out what I want to hear. Don't play that game. I have a preacher friend who has sought my advice, happened to know he's called a half a dozen other preachers too, didn't listen to anybody, and ended up making a huge mistake, messed up his church, going to mess up his life, and he said, well, I sought counsel on it. I don't know who told him what he wanted to hear, but he finally got the answer he wanted to hear. Don't blame me for that. Say, will you help him again? Yes, guardedly. How about you find the best person in every area of life? Some of you have a car that's broken down and you need a mechanic. You say, preacher, who do I go to? I'll tell you who to go to. I can tell you who I go to. Say, hey, tell them I sent you. If you need tires, this is who I use. Doesn't mean it's the only person in the world you should use, but I know they'll take care of you. It doesn't matter what area, but let me help you. We're not to compare what people think. You're not buying a used car. You're supposed to be getting advice for your life. Why do we want to shop for advice? I talked to a head of a deacon board yesterday for about an hour and a half, helping them. Their pastor just resigned the church and is going into the mission field. Just up last Sunday night and told everybody, and it was shocked everybody. He called me and said, Brother Bush, I need your help. What do I do next? Not the pastor or the deacon, because they got to find a new pastor. So I talked to him at length. And I'll help them. Now listen to me. First thing I said was, don't bring three people in and compare them and pick out a used car here. One at a time. He said, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I said, well, you're not shopping for a used car. I said, don't you think God wants the right man there? He said, of course I do. I said, then why do you want to bring three in and get everybody's opinion and have a split church over it? One at a time. Well, preacher, I don't agree with that. Don't care. I've been in the ministry longer than you, and I know what works and what doesn't. Just like when we pick colors for the church. Well, I went and picked that. Right. It's not your house. It's God's, and I know his taste better than yours. Well, that's not what I didn't ask you. That's why we didn't have any opinions about it. Remember sitting in Old Aiken Center? I said, grown now, you're not going to like it? Okay, you're still fine, you're still here. So, it's no wonder that these churches and pastors who seek psychologists for counsel, these churches are turning more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. They only get man's advice. They only get man's philosophy. So they have churches and ministries that appeal to the flesh and appeal to the emotions and not to the spirit. This church is a hospital for the hurting. We'll help your body, your soul, and your spirit the best we can. I am not anti-doctor. I'm not anti-natural. We'll figure out what's best for you and do it. Everybody doing all right? Well, if I had cancer, I'd never do chemo. Okay, don't do it. But if you want to do it, I'll help you through it. I'm not going to counsel you either way. It's your choice. Well, that's not about rat poison. It may be, but I know it's helped a lot of people. Your opinion is your opinion. It's like a nose. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. A wise old preacher. Dr. Carl Laurent. As a freshman in college, I was driving him to preach. He said, Brother Craig, he said, do you think God would give the man of God the right answer to any question you had? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, huh. I guess then, if you sought advice about every question you had, you'd never have to make a bad decision. That was 36 years ago. Dr. Lorenz in heaven. What a wise old man. I thank God if I have questions, I go to God and I go to men of God that are proven men of God, and I get their help. I'm not asking you to put me on a pedestal, but I am asking you to let me help you see life better than any human being looking through man's eyes only can see. That's all I'm asking. Say, well, preacher, you're too busy. If I'm too busy for you, we just need to talk, because I'm not that too busy. Yes, I'm busy. But busy people get things done.
Amen.
My whole life is trying to help people. If the day comes, helping somebody else away from our church infringes on helping the people of this church, you get first shot, they get second. Just so you know. I'm not going to not help people, but I'll help as many people as I can. Isn't that what I'm here for? God said, you've plowed wickedness. You've reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way and in the multitude of thy mighty men. How about we go seek godly counsel? Financial, I can help you. Looking for a house, looking for a car, I can help you. I can guide you. So, preacher, maybe you ought to get some advice. Doesn't matter what area of life, I happen to know a little bit about a lot of things. And if I don't know the answer, I'll get it for you. That's what I'm here for. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands. You may put them down.